Welcome to Bob Dylan, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. I'm Rita Houston.
He almost single-handedly eradicated Tin Pan Alley because he was the first artist who could record an album of 10 or 12 songs and be the writer and publisher of all the songs.
When Bob Dylan arrived in New York City in the early 1960s, he didn't just alter the course of folk music. He helped change the way the music business worked in general. Dylan achieved this by merely doing what he does best, writing and singing his own songs. The popularity of his music took care of the rest.
To preach peace and brotherhood, oh, what might be the cause? And man, he did it long ago, and he hung him on a cross long ago. Far away, those things don't happen nowadays. The chains of slaves, they dragged the ground with heads and hearts hung low. But that was during Lincoln's time when it was long ago, long ago. Far away, those things like that don't happen no more nowadays, do they?
Publishing is probably one of the least sexy aspects of the music business, but it's the way that songwriters make a living. Every time a song is recorded or played on the radio or in a movie, the songwriter gets paid a little bit. The more popular the song, the more those little bits add up. The publishing company also gets a small piece of that money, so they make sure their songs are heard as much as possible. Art Mogul began working in this business in the 1940s.
In those days, the publisher was king, not the record company. Record companies were very subsidiary to publishing companies. And in those days, the song was important. Nowadays, I'm not even sure people know what a song is. You would pick a song and work on it. You would say, this is going to be our plug song for the next 3 months, whatever the song was. It's a Marshmallow World. And for 3 months, everybody in the company would travel around the country getting the bands to play It's a Marshmallow World. And the songs that got the most performances on the radio would be on the hit parade, which was the equivalent of what we now call the Billboard charts.
These song pluggers would also try to get well-known artists to record their tunes. Everything centered around creating a hit single. And then, a new kind of artist rolled into town.
Well, you can read out your Bible. You can fall down on your knees and pray to the Lord. Pretty mama, but it ain't gonna do no good. You're gonna need my help someday. If you can't quit your sinning, please quit your low-down ways.
Quit Your Low-Down Ways, performed by Bob Dylan for his publishing company, Whitmark Music. The songwriting and publishing business had a nickname, Tin Pan Alley. It basically ran popular music from the late 1800s through the mid-1900s, when rock and roll chipped away at its power and big bands lost their appeal. When Bob Dylan got to New York City, Tin Pan Alley was still big business. Dylan spent his time downtown, though, where things were a lot looser.
With Bob, I took a piece of paper out of whatever or asked someone for someone and wrote down that I, Bob Dylan, do hereby agree to be managed by Roy Silver for 20%. I forget what the period of time was, and so forth, and Bobby signed it. I mean, it was really no big deal.
Dylan's first manager, Roy Silver.
I mean, we met on a daily basis, trying to figure out what to do next. There was no question. I was trying to make him a star, and I knew that he could and would be a star. I just had to figure out how to do it.
Well, it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It don't matter anyhow. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. Even you don't know by now. When the rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone.
You're the reason I'm a-traveling on. But don't think twice, it's all right.
Manager Roy Silver.
So here we were, and one day Bob came by to play a new song for me. And Bob whipped out his rusty guitar, and he played this song for me, and I said, this is the greatest song I've ever heard. I said, and we have to record it immediately because I know a place where this should go.
Silver's partner was Albert Grossman, soon to be Dylan's only manager for the next 8 years. Grossman suggested they go to publisher Art Mogul.
And one of the things that I pride myself on is that I think I'm one of the few, at that time, I may have been the only one in the music business who listened to the words. And when I heard how many years must one man have before he can hear people cry, I flipped. I can't even remember what the songs were that he played me that day, but I said, okay, that's it, I want you. I'll give you $1,000 advance, you'll sign a 7-year writer's contract, or whatever it was, 5 years. And we got a contract ready, and he signed it.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Blowing in the Wind, performed by Bob Dylan as a demonstration tape for his publisher. More information on Bob Dylan can be found at bobdylan.com. I'm Rita Houston. Thanks for listening.